today on Real Radio.
I believe that if our educators had any chutzpah, that they would teach evolution and creationism side by side, and may the better science win. What are they afraid of?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Many of us have asked the question, what does the Bible say about life? Do science and the Bible agree? Well, Psalm 139 tells us that God created our innermost being and that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you know, even with today's technology, scientists cannot disprove the wonder of creation. Today, Pastor Jack encourages us to thrust ourselves into Holy Spirit-led evangelism that leaves the realm of science by asking the most important question of all. Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and His salvation? And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Some people today think that they cannot have an opinion about something, but we don't talk about that. I've often joked with you guys, or I grew up in a home where religion was talked about, though it was not a Christian home. It was debated and argued. And politics in my home was debated and argued. And outside of that, I think we would have had a silent, quiet home. And some people today say, well, we don't talk about two things in our life. We don't talk about religion or politics. What else is there left to talk about? It's amazing, because how you view the world is, in fact, your worldview. But as Christians, we want to have a biblical worldview. So tonight, we're going to look at our first point, just one tonight, and it's this. When does life begin, someone would say. This is a big debate. You can Google this, and there's a huge debate about this. When does life begin? Listen, these are some things lifted from various scientific journals about this question regarding the origin of life or the beginning of life. And it's this. Are all living things highly organized? Are living things highly organized? Church, what do you think? Are living things very or highly organized? Absolutely. If you've been to kindergarten, you know that. Do all living things acquire fuel or energy or produce energy? Yes, no matter how minute they might be. That's a scientific fact. Do all things respond to their environment? Every living thing responds to its environment. Do all things have the ability to develop, not evolution, but develop in the way of its code? Absolutely. Written into the code of something is its ability to develop. These are undeniable, basic scientific observations. Do all things show evidence of intelligence? Oh, yeah. And so when we consider this, the origin of the question, let's look at this. When does life begin? You're hearing this in your schools today. You're talking about it in your classes. When does life begin? And that's an awesome and exciting question, because listen to this. It's this question that has caused scientists and researchers to develop a universe and examine a universe and to notate a universe that is a celestial one above us, the stars that we see and beyond, which hangs over our heads, to study it, to observe it, to find out its most deep workings, without which, by the way, you cannot launch a spacecraft. You have to know these things, astrophysicists and the like, astronomers and the like. But what's amazing is that when we talk about when does life begin, this question leads inevitably to, what about us? And as advanced as the universe is, and all of its mechanical orbital movements of bodies out in space, did you know that just various parts of your body, for example, the human eye, carries along with it the evidence, the observable information that is more advanced than the entire universe that you and I can watch or view through the Hubble or through our naked eye? But see, you and I don't think much about that because we are in too close proximity to our eye and to one another, that we take one another for granted. But boy, we would all get excited if we could orbit around Jupiter and take a look at it. And yet Jupiter, if it could orbit around us, it would say, wow, are you not fearfully and wonderfully made? The beginning of life, when does it begin? And this debate, however, is not always scientific, I might add. When does life begin? Why would somebody ask that question? Either they want to disprove that it's life or that it's not valuable in most cases. Now, in the laboratory, in the scientific sense, I understand that it's, I would say, asked in the most virgin sense. When does it begin? And that's a great question, and that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. But we will definitely spill over and into an area of spirituality and morality. Your worldview about when life begins influences every other view of your life, and it certainly influences how you vote and how you conduct yourself in this culture of ours. It determines our value system, how we perceive God, how we perceive man, the sciences themselves, life. And there's a necessary presupposition to all of this stuff, and it's this. According to the creation design, we would say the Bible, but I'll just say creation design. It is life at its beginning. That's what the Bible says. That life takes place at its inception, its beginning. That's scientifically observed, but I'm talking purely Bible right now. Secondly, according to the evolutionary chance belief, what do you think the answer is for that? What's interesting about the evolutionary chance theory and according to the creation design belief, it all takes place at the time life has its beginning. You see, it's not that there's two different sciences. Well, should we teach creation science or evolution? You know what? I'm against teaching only evolution in school, and I'm against only teaching creationism in school. I believe that if our educators had any chutzpah, that they would teach evolution and creationism side by side, and may the better science win. What are they afraid of? The truth never has to be afraid, ever. Consider that for a moment. So the issues about the beginning of life, really, we're looking at the cause of the origin very quickly in Job chapter 31. Now, this is just the Bible. What then shall I do when God rises up? When he makes inquiry, what shall I answer him? Did not he who made me in the womb make him? That is the other guy. And did not one fashion us in the womb? According to creationism by God, it happens in the womb. Isaiah 44 verse 2 says, thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb. That's a tremendous statement. Listen, I believe that the God who made the Bible is the God who made science, and if he's truly God, he cannot contradict himself. Those true things will be in harmony one with another. And I want to suggest to you tonight that biblical understanding and true science agree perfectly. Why? Because the author is the same. And so when we look at these things, consider this also. When does life have value? If life is called life, at what point, when does it have value? I recently watched a program, maybe you saw it as well. It's called Whale Wars. Have you seen that? And I was saddened and yet amused at the same time that really smart, educated people would literally almost get themselves killed trying to protect a whale. You say, well, Pastor, don't you like whales? I love whales. I mean, they're fantastic. They're beautiful. They're great. But to sacrifice your life for a whale? What is your worldview? Apparently, their worldview is, I will give my life to preserve the whale. And the sad thing is, the whale doesn't even appreciate that. But the danger is that you can so love the creation of God and miss the Creator that you would wind up sacrificing yourself for it rather than for Him. What and when? How? Where does the value of life come from, and how do we conduct ourselves regarding it? Quickly, Jeremiah 1 verse 4 says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And don't raise your hand, but any of you pregnant? Any of you think you're pregnant? God is in there. You might say, well, you know, I got pregnant. I wasn't supposed to. God is in there. Our God is the God of biology. Have you noticed there's older people trying to get pregnant and they can't get pregnant? And then two teenagers in the theater of sin rub elbows and get pregnant. Gee whiz, what's going on? Biology. God engineered it. The great designer made it. We're responsible for how we conduct it. But God says in Jeremiah 1 verses 4 and 5, I formed you in the womb. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Church, very quickly, when someone is growing inside of the womb, someone's coming together, the Bible says God is there. Isn't it amazing that no matter what the parameters were for that baby being placed there, God says, I'm at work and I'm doing something? You say, well, what if it was a rape? Listen, what does that have to do with anything? God has engineered biology. It's not a mistake. The rape is a tragic event. But the life, the amazingly good thing coming out of it is the life. You may view it differently, but your biblical worldview needs to view it the way God sees. You see, what am I supposed to do with this child? If you don't want the child, give the child up for adoption. But it is a miracle. This is amazing to me. Luke chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, for he, that is John the Baptist, will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be, watch this, filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. You have to have a soul to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When does the child become a, when does this fetus a baby? When does life begin? It's interesting because if a German shepherd gets pregnant from another German shepherd, those are puppies inside that mama German shepherd. Have you noticed that? Everybody says so. But when it's a human, it makes us feel better if we say it's a fetus, if it's unwanted. It's very interesting. So listen to this. When does life begin? When does life have value? I want you to listen to one scientist who's not a believer. He's not a Christian. This guy's a genius. Yale University. Listen carefully to what he has to say.
I was offered a position as associate professor of medicine and chief of scientific visualization at Yale University in the Department of Medicine. And my job was to write many of the algorithms and code for NASA to do virtual surgery in preparation for the astronauts going into deep space flight so they could be cut in robotic pods. One of the fascinating things about what we were actually working on is that we were seeing, using the new kind of scanning technologies, things that had never been seen before. I mean, not only in disease management, but also things that allowed us to see things about the body that just made you marvel. So perfectly organized a structure, it was hard not to attribute divinity to it, because we kept on seeing this over and over and over again in different parts of the body. One of the opportunities I had was one person was working on a really interesting kind of micromagnetic resonance imaging machine with the NIH, and what we were going to do is scan a new project on the development of the fetus from conception to birth using these kinds of new technologies. So I wrote the algorithms in code, and he built the hardware. And as we kept on scanning more and more, working on this project, looking at these two simple cells that had this kind of unbelievable machinery that will become the magic of you. And as we kept on working on this data, looking at small clusters of the body, these little, pieces of tissue that were the trophoblast coming off of the blastocyst, all of a sudden burrowing itself into the side of the uterus, saying, I'm here to stay. All of a sudden having a conversation of communications and the estrogens, the progesterones, saying, I'm here to stay, plant me, building this incredible trilinear fetus that becomes within 44 days something that you can recognize, and then at 9 weeks is really like a kind of a little human being. The marvel of this information, how do we actually have this biological mechanism inside our body to actually see this information? I'm going to show you something pretty unique. Here's a human heart at 25. It's just basically two strands. And like this magnificent origami, cells are developing at, 1 million cells per second at 4 weeks as it's just folding on itself. Within 5 weeks, you can start to see the early atrium and the early ventricles. 6 weeks, these folds are now beginning with the papilla and the inside of the heart, actually being able to pull down each one of those valves in your heart until you get actually a mature heart and then basically the development of the entire human body. The magic of the mechanisms inside each genetic structure saying exactly where that nerve cell should go. The complexity of these, the mathematical models on how these things are indeed done are beyond human comprehension. Even though I am a mathematician, I look at this with a marvel of how do these instruction sets not make these mistakes as they build what is us. It's a mystery, it's magic, it's divinity. I mean, then when you start to take a look at an adult life, take a look at this little tuft of capillaries. It's just a tiny substructure, microscopic, but basically by the time you're nine months and you've given birth, you have almost 60,000 miles of vessels inside your body. I mean, and only 1 mile is visible, 59,999 miles that are basically bringing nutrients and taking waste away. The complexity of building that within a single system is, again, beyond any comprehension of any existing mathematics today. And that instruction set from the brain to every other part of the body, look at the complexity of the folding. Where is this intelligence of knowing that a fold can actually hold more information? So as you actually watch the baby's brain grow, and it's not just our own existence, but how does the woman's body understand to have genetic structure that not only builds her own, but then has the understanding that allows her to become a walking immunological cardiovascular, system that basically is a mobile system that can actually nurture, treat this child with a kind of marvel that, is beyond, again, our comprehension, the magic that is existence, that is us. Thank you.
Do you think that guy's excited about what he's found? Did you hear how many times he said the mechanism, the machinery, the data, where does it come from? It's mysterious, it's magic, it's divinity. You guys, this is one of the sharpest dudes around. And he couldn't even begin to describe what he's been studying without dropping over and over again terms that relate to another person. Engineering, he said. Machinery. How does this data get here? You can't deny this. The beginning of life. The Bible says, I've created you, God says, in my own image. God says, I've created life. When you saw what you saw here a moment ago, think about, would it be right in any way, shape, or form? Would it even be scientific for someone to interrupt that process and terminate it? Would it be right for someone to stop what God has started? I'm talking about abortion, obviously. We have the beginning of life that God says, I'll do it. And then we have the will of man saying, I'm going to step in and terminate it. On what basis do we do this? On what right do we do this? At some point, our culture has decided that there will be those who will decide life has no meaning. Let me ask you something. This is vital. No matter what your belief system is, no matter what your worldview is, think of this. Who gives who, or how can someone assume that this miracle of life that this scientist could not define without using miraculous, divinity, magic, impossible terms, at what point does someone have the right to step in and stop that? We better really stop to consider, do we as human beings have the right to question this when we look at this technology? Do we even have the right when the best of the best cannot describe the glory of it? Do we have the intelligence, the experience, the wisdom, the understanding to determine when life should be allowed to live? And now we live in an America that is so far from science, that is so far from morality, so far from the fear of God, that we, and don't tell me otherwise, there's a nurse in this church who watched this take place under the sanctions of a hospital delivery room where the child was brought forth in this modern time, in this age, and under this current administration that we live in, and the child was brought forth completely normal. But the child was not wanted. And so the child was left in the room in a towel until it died. That is legal in America. And you might say, well, you know what? Politicians, they decide. Let's just remember something. God is God. In Psalm 139, verse 13, the Bible says, "For you created my innermost being." Don't you love that? "You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well." Pretty powerful stuff. You, over and over again, need to exercise your thinking. Church, let's stand together right now and let's pray. Maybe tonight, imagine, what if tonight the issue is not worldview for you? Maybe tonight you're pregnant, but you saw a scientist tonight tell you that the moment there's a collision between sperm and egg, 1 million cells are being created per second. Father, tonight we pray that there would be people thinking right now. You have shown us all of our lives the evidence of life itself. And Lord, if you've been faithful to do that, and as science screams for your existence to be considered and decided upon, the same is true about eternal life. You are the Creator God, and you're also the very same God that said that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the grave that we might receive the gift of eternal life and heaven forevermore, sins forgiven. Tonight I pray, Father, that minds would be changed, not only about the beginning of life, true science, but you, the author and the finisher of faith itself. Right now, right where you're standing, these things make sense now this evening. And tonight, you're either hiding behind a self-made lie, or you're exposed tonight by the truth of God. Choose the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And if you're here tonight and you have a baby growing inside of you and you're debating, or if you're watching right now on his channel or podcasting and you're thinking, well, what can I do? Just like that girl Alicia, what can one person do, she said. Great question. But one person can save a life, created in the image of God. But what about your life tonight, your eternal life? Right now, right where you're at, will you pray this prayer? If you've never prayed it before, but you want to tonight, mean it. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my life now and forgive me of my sins and wash me clean. Forgive me, Lord, and let this God that is all around you evident show you his forgiveness and his grace.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson called When Life Begins. It's a study asking three powerful questions. When does life begin? When does life have value? And when does life no longer have meaning? Today's lesson was just one in a series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, you know, because of the election cycle, what's going on here in the news, taking up most of the news, you really haven't heard much about the recent flooding crisis in Louisiana. Louisiana was hit by a once-every-thousand-year flood. They pretty much call it the thousand-year flood. It was worse than Hurricane Katrina and Sandy. A lot of people were displaced in and around Baton Rouge, and you can help. You can go to LouisianaHelp.com, LouisianaHelp.com, and whatever you give, get this. This is the good part. 100%, every penny that you give goes to those in need. Not a single cent goes to staff or anything like that. LouisianaHelp.com. Of course, if you need any more information on that, go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.